You're listening to the WHO podcast, and my name is Veronica Rima. In this episode, we look at the life-saving role of breastfeeding, especially during emergencies. This week, the World Health Organization joins the World Alliance for Breastfeeding Action in celebrating World Breastfeeding Week. This year, the focus is on the importance of breastfeeding during emergencies, such as war or natural disasters. Emergencies jeopardize the health and survival of large populations, with infants being the most vulnerable. Child mortality can increase significantly due to diarrhea, respiratory illness, and malnutrition. But breastfeeding in emergency situations can be a lifesaver. Dr. Kunal Bagchi, Regional Advisor for Nutrition and Food Safety for WHO's Southeast Asian region, explains.
Breast milk is the ideal food for newborns and infants, and because it provides all the nutrients that are needed for healthy development. In an emergency situation where basic infrastructure has been compromised, breast milk provides a safe food, and it contains antibodies that help protect infants from, let's say, common childhood illnesses like diarrhea and pneumonia. Another important is that it's readily available and affordable, which helps to ensure that infants get adequate sustenance at the time when they need it.
Dr. Rodrigo Ofrin, Regional Advisor for Emergency and Humanitarian Action for WHO's Southeast Asia region, tells us why breastfeeding in emergency situations has a life-saving role.
In any affected population, in emergencies, breastfeeding is an important public health intervention. At the end of the day, the goal is to have a camp that supports health. That's what we want, a healthy camp with healthy individuals and healthy population in it. WHO, its partners, should be looking at breastfeeding as one of the key services and health-promoting interventions that should be ensured in a place which houses the affected population. Mothers should be well informed that, yes, you can and you should breastfeed. There should be a place and time provided for them.
Dr. Constanza Valienas de Villa, a medical officer in WHO's Child and Adolescent Health and Development Department, explains what is needed.
One needs to have skilled health workers or field workers, even if they are not health professionals, who can provide counseling to mothers to help them continue breastfeeding, if they are breastfeeding. There is a group called the Infant Feeding in Emergencies Core Group, which is formed by several UN agencies, including WHO and NGOs. This group has been very active in developing training materials and operational guidance, explaining what can and cannot be done in emergencies. And these materials are being used in many places to train staff and to guide them on what is possible.
Infants who are not breastfed are vulnerable to infection and to developing diarrhea. Following an emergency, one of the first things that is donated is breast milk substitute, often done with the best of intentions. But this can have a negative impact on the health of mothers and children. Dr. Bagchi talks about its distribution and why this should be strictly controlled.
There are very specific guidelines developed by WHO, by UNHCR, other partner organizations, and which outlines the policy for acceptance, distribution and use of these milk products in humanitarian crisis operations. WHO has its guideline, which very specifically establishes certain principles related to the use of breast milk substitutes, and to consider the conditions very carefully where breast milk substitutes may be used.
But how easy is it for mothers who are under considerable stress to breastfeed their babies?
We know that mothers who are under stress have stopped ejecting milk for perhaps a day or so, but this can be overcome with a good support. In fact, it's a myth to think that because they are under stressful situations, they won't be able to breastfeed. The thing is to know that they need the support. The other myth that there is quite commonly is that people think that because mothers are undernourished, they cannot breastfeed, or the milk is of very poor quality. That's not true. Even very malnourished mothers can produce good milk. It's in lower quantities, it's true. But obviously, we don't want to just ensure that the baby is in good condition. We want to also make sure that the mother, if she's malnourished, she receives the nutritional support she needs.
That was Dr. Constanze Velinas de Vela from WHO. If you would like to learn more about this subject, there are links to related information on the transcript page of this podcast episode. Look for the link to the podcast on the homepage of our website at www.who.int. That's all for this episode of the WHO podcast. Thanks for listening. If you have any comments on our podcast or have any suggestions for future health topics, do drop us a line. Our email address is podcast@who.int. For the World Health Organization, this is Veronica Riemer in Geneva.